tell you a story about a woman I know. I come loving, steal the show. She ain't exactly pretty, ain't exactly small. 4-2-3-9-56. You can say she got it all.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a One Artist Wednesday. That's when my co-host, Patrick Davis, the Idillionaire, goes deep down the rabbit hole into the catalog of one specific artist or group or band. And today, we are all very lucky because they are the focus of One Artist Wednesday, AC/DC, as you can hear. My Patrick doing a great job with that. We appreciate all of his efforts and energy. He also puts that creativity to work with the topic for the big fat poll of the day, which also is an interesting conversation. You can also check it out on the X platform right now, too. It's already up there for you at the Horn ATX. Patrick, give the folks the topic for the big fat poll of the day.
Big fat poll of the day today. Which college coach would you want to see in a reality show? The choices we have up there are Mike Gundy, Dan Hurley, Deion Sanders, and Kim Mulkey. If you want to throw another one up there, feel free to on there. You can hit us on the text line as well, 512-447-3776. Mike Gundy, I think after this conversation yesterday, Big 12 Media Days, people want to see Mike Gundy in the reality show.
It was the timing of it. It really was. I knew he was going to say something. I didn't think about the Ollie Gordon thing as much, but I mean, I knew he would make headlines. He never disappoints. I don't know if he's doing it on purpose. I do think that's just kind of naturally him. He is not shy about giving you his truth, whatever he is and how he sees the world. He's willing to give that to you. And he's never been shy about that, and that's been the case for any Big 12 Media Days that I've been covering or been to. So it was just throwing it out there yesterday. I knew. I was like, Mike Gundy going to give you something. And then you went took it even further, and I love it that, you know, the Mike Gundy, you know, Deion Sanders, that could end up being those two personalities who are larger than life. And matter of fact, they are both options on this question, and Deion Sanders is second.
Yes,
he's getting 18% of the votes, so it's obviously a very distant second. But, man, those two personalities, if pitted against one another as rivals, and we know Deion has done this before, right, where he's been famous and for his shameless self-promotion. And even as a coach, we've seen it where, you know, hey, they made it personal, all right? And, you know, how he kind of ends up with this kind of trash talk WWE style promos that he can do before games against, you know, guys like Jay Norvell and Matt Rule had to deal with it too. It really did. It made a huge impact on viewership. I mean, Colorado over on four games, they shouldn't have been one of the most watched programs in the country, but they were. They were one of the most watched programs in college football. They shouldn't be a team. They shouldn't have a player on the cover of the video game, but they do. They shouldn't be a top 20 rated team on the video game, but they are, because people are going to play with them and people want to watch Colorado. Four wins, six wins, don't matter. And Deion is one of the big reasons for that. So Deion would be on board with promoting himself and another program if it would be good for the overall, like, brand that, you know, for the Big 12 brand and for his own brand. He's not opposed to that.
No,
he's not beneath that.
He's a perfect foil because he's, you know, we hate NIL, we love NIL, we hate transfer portal, we love transfer portal.
Oh.
I'm a man, I'm 40, and then Deion talking trash about these kids that are leaving the program.
It's great.
All those pieces going together. And then you just throw in the natural dichotomy of it's a quarterback and a DB.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You're right. I did not think about it. It's a quarterback and a DB. You're right. Good point. You're right. No, you're right. That's just it, during election season. I mean, if you're Brett Yarmark and you're smart, you got to use this. Like you said, today, between the differences and the dichotomy, you got to use this. I mean, one's hip-hop, one's country music. I mean, come on, man. It's – If you're a Brett Yarbrough, you don't use this election season coming up, you know, so I ain't got to tell you how easily that could be. You could really, really put a, I think, put basically make that a marquee game. You could end up making that one of your marquee games, because we were just talking about the Big 12. You know, and we're going to talk more about the SEC this year, and we will the Big 12, of course, because that's where Texas is playing. But I don't know what the marquee, the big game in the Big 12 is. It usually was a Texas or Oklahoma game, or the Texas-Oklahoma game. I don't know what it is this year. I'm sure there's going to be one, but you can, usually you can talk about that in the preseason. You can't talk about that right now. We have no idea who it's going to be.
No, I mean, I don't even know. There's not even a ton of in-conference rivalries anymore for these teams. There wasn't ton before, but at least you had Bedlam, so there was that involved. But like Iowa State is not an in-conference rivalry.
Kansas State?
Is that it? Is that your big rivalry?
TCU Baylor.
I mean, none of those feel like they're huge. But
TCU Baylor's a good. Utah BYU.
Utah BYU. You're right. You get Utah BYU.
Utah BYU is it.
All right, Big 12.
I agree. I'm not saying that that's a group. I know that's actually a heated rivalry in terms of their region.
It is.
But it has no national appeal to that rivalry.
No, and it doesn't feel like a Big 12. Like, it is now.
It is.
But it is two teams that have been that have come into the Big 12 in the last 2 years.
No, you're right about
that. So it's a new Big 12 rivalry, which Brett Yarmark says they're as strong as they've ever been.
Oh, he did say that. Yeah, he also said, let me get my Brett Yarmark quote, because I screenshotted it, because I was like, did he really say that? And apparently, yeah, he did. He basically said they're more relevant than ever.
More relevant, yes.
They're more relevant than ever. And it's like, well, no, you can't. No, you're not. You lost your two blue bloods. We understand. Now, but you're right. He's got to say that. Maybe
I think
this is what
he means. This is what he means. Okay. There used to be five conferences. So we were 20% of the conversation, or 20. Now we're 25% of the conversation because there's only four. So just by the fact there's no Pac-12, we become more relevant. Now I think that's not true, because I think they somehow have still fallen less relevant because of Big Ten and the SEC. Yeah. But if he just wants to go on semantics of, well, there was five and now there's four, then technically he can get that.
Okay, well, I can follow that logic, I guess, if you want to go there.
I don't
maybe
think
that's
what he meant. It's a pretty sad line to say to your media days, if that's what he meant.
Hey, George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it, and I think Brett Yarmark. But Brett Yarmark's a great promoter, too. So I think you're right, Patrick. Your theory about basically manufacturing a Oklahoma State-Colorado rivalry, because I think Oklahoma State's going to contend for the Big 12, and Colorado could surprise some people. I mean, they do have two first-round picks. Nobody else in the Big 12's got two first-round picks on their team right now, and they'll have the best quarterback in that conference. But, man, I think that rivalry, you said it's last right now on the schedule? It's last?
Last game, excuse me.
Yeah, that could end up being an impactful one, and maybe they did have that in mind. That's why they put it last on the schedule. Maybe that's just coincidence. That, to me, feels like a rivalry that needs to happen in the Big 12 this year. They need to make that. Somebody needs to be thinking on the broader scale like you, Patrick, about the health of the conference and, you know, watchability and marquee games, and you can already start planting the seeds for that, for Oka. Because you can easily get Gundy and Deion to take shots at one another. That wouldn't be hard. They're so, like you said, they're so opposite in so many ways that it would be easy just to get one to comment about somebody else's philosophy, their style, the program, and then it goes. Then Deion says, oh, it's personal. Deion will hype it up no matter what. All Deion needs is a little sliver. It doesn't have to be a real slight. He'll take it and run with it. You just got to give him a little something. And Gundy will give you more than a little something. Gundy will give it all to you. And tell you how he really feels, which that's it. Some people don't like Gundy. I actually like Gundy. On this show, you guys hear me praise Gundy as a coach. I think he's a brilliant coach. But even away from the field, like I said, he'll give you his version of the truth and his truth, and he's unapologetic and shameless about that. And that makes people uncomfortable. Some people don't like it. And this comment also got some people upset with Mike Gundy and his handling of the Ollie Gordon situation. So we'll play that. We'll play that audio and discuss it. We'll also talk about Arch Manning being in the game. It's official. What changed Arch's mind, I wonder? What changed his mind? We'll get into that too. But first, let's get educated, updated, and informed on all the top stories of the day with Patrick Davis and the Horn Headlines.
All right, your Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the MLB, the Astros got a 4-3 win over the Marlins yesterday, with Ronyel Blanco getting his 9th win of the season, pitching 7 innings, allowing 2 runs, and with a 7 strikeouts. Alex Bregman hit a 2-run homer in the 7th to take the lead, and the Astros pick up the victory, keeping them in the hunt for the AL West division race. Houston will send Framber Valdez to the mound tonight, looking to keep their 7-game home win streak alive against Brian Hoeing in what will be a bullpen game for the Marlins. And the Rangers won their 5th straight following an 8th-inning homer from Adolis Garcia to put the Rangers up 5-4. Max Scherzer pitched 6 2/3 innings, only allowing 3 earned runs, but didn't pick up the win as he could not get out of the 7th inning. Josh Smith picked up 3 hits in the game, knocking in 2 RBIs as he remains a Rangers leader in batting average this season, hitting .296. Michael Lorenzen will get the start for the Rangers tonight, building on a 5-inning performance in his last outing, only allowing 1 hit. And that is your Horn Headlines.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Grass is growing and yards need mowing. We got deep discounts on Gravely, Toro, Hustler, and Steel zero-turn mowers this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Get right to it. Thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. We appreciate that. All right, let's get right to this Gundy sound. I could have predicted that Gundy was going to make some headlines of some kind. And usually, I wish we can go and kind of track the media days because I've recovered Big 12 for so long, and go back and track. Gundy's been there for so long. How often out of Big 12 media days is there a Gundy headline or a Gundy? You know what I mean? Like a Gundy quote that goes viral. And it happens a lot. Yeah. It does. It really does. And it's always for some random reason or, I don't know. This time it's for Ollie Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't there once that it was the mullet when he showed up? The fresh mullet?
Yeah, it was the mullet. Yeah, I remember the mullet. Yeah. And it's just out of nowhere. Yeah. No. He always, and sometimes, like I said, sometimes it's, more comedic and comical. So this time there is some comic relief here, but then mostly this is it. Delicate topic, serious topic, where you're talking about drunk driving. So there are some people that are very upset with Mike Gundy's comments. So I don't want to make light of that. But Mike Gundy himself, he tries to make sure that in these comments, and we'll play the first one here, because the first one is when he's asked about Ollie Gordon's suspension or punishment, I should say. Is he going to punish Ollie Gordon? What's going to be the punishment? And here is what Mike Gundy had to say.
We're in a time where you guys are essentially employees. You guys make lots of money to play this game. It's different than it was 5 years ago. And your punishment's going to be facing the facts. That's why we brought him here today. I said, you're not going into hiding. You're going to face the music. You're going to have to stand up and talk to people and answer questions. And hopefully, more than football, you can learn from the situation you've been in. Because if not, then we have a real issue. He's going to play. And I'm going to do what we think is best for Oklahoma State football. And I think it's best for Ollie to play. If there's any punishment, it's make him carry the ball 50 times in the first game.
I think the comment at the end that put people over the top. They're like, "Oh, he's making light of this. He's not really serious about this thing." And then the next, and I don't know which one of these came first. I will admit that because they're in different places. One is by a reporter, and one is actually on the dais there. He's like hanging. He's actually with addressing the media. And this one is when he talks about some research that he did and tries to make his own personal, kind of his own personal connection to Ollie Gordon's situation. Here is Coach Mike Gundy.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08 and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought, really, 2 or 3 beers or 4. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light because you make a lot of money to play football.
All right. And it kind of goes on there. I will say this because I know there's been a lot of criticism of Mike Gundy, and people don't like Mike Gundy anyway. So that adds to it. People don't like Mike Gundy. I actually do. I'm a Gundy fan. Trust me, I understand people being angry at Gundy. I'll give him credit for this because I do think the punishment thing, that's separate, and there probably should be a punishment of some kind. He implies he's going to handle it in-house. That should have been a punishment of some kind, and maybe that should have been made public. Maybe you don't have to, but there needs to be consequences for it. There will be, obviously, legally, but for a guy that's going to be the face of your team and considered one of the best players in the country, there should be. So that being aside, I'll give him credit. Not a lot of people are willing to admit that, you know, they've made that bad decision or make that bad decision. I think we've all kind of been in that kind of situation. I'm glad that at least he's willing to point out that, hey, man, that is maybe he's not doing it intentionally, but that is something that we all need to discuss, that irresponsible justification to get in your car and drive when you've had – I don't know, a couple of drinks, and you think, oh, no, I'm good. And it's like, well, yeah, but is it worth it, right? Is that worth the consequences? And even if you were getting pulled over for a DWI, as he admitted, hell, that's one of the best-case scenarios for getting in the car after taking, having a few drinks. So I'll admit, because a lot of people are not willing to admit that they do that or have done that, which is basically what he did. He admitted that he has made that bad decision, and it is a bad decision. It's a terrible decision, and we all should learn from that. Anytime we get one of these high-profile cases, especially somebody who has access to resources, which now the young man does, all right? Back in the day, we didn't have the technology, number one, to get a ride share and that kind of stuff, but he's got extra resources because he's one of the highest paid, I'm sure, players at his position NIL-wise in the country. Yeah, man, if you're going to party and you want to go hard in the paint like that, that's all good. You want to party hard, work hard, we get that. Yeah, man, take a ride share. Like, it's at this point in our society where we are, everybody should be, you know, at that point, and you shouldn't be, you know, taking those unnecessary risks, not only with your own life, but with the lives of everybody around you. So that should ultimately be the lesson that we're getting out of this. And I think Gundy tried to somewhat go there, just went there in his own way, and yeah, he's going to get blowback from that because he always wants to do it in a snarky way, and he wants to do it by the shade, putting himself, like, you know, in this kind of, you know, putting himself on a different platform, you know what I mean, and kind of looking at himself in a different light. And I think ultimately here, he tried to relate to it. I think he at least ventured down the path where, you know, we need to have this discussion about being responsible and irresponsible, but he might have done it in a way that offended some folks. So I'll give him credit, but then I understand people don't like Mike Gundy.
No.
So they're not going to start with that. They'll start with, hey, Mike Gundy is there, and he's there, although trying to look sanctimonious. He's ultimately, this is a selfish move by him.
Yeah. No, it's 100% because Ollie Gordon's the best player. First of all, 100%.
Agree.
If it was a backup D lineman, that guy's getting suspended for 2 games. An example for the rest of the team. You cannot drink and drive. That's not what Oklahoma State's about. But because the best player, he's not. And again, DUIs, it's a subjective, and I get it. You should not drink and drive. But I get that it is not necessarily it's a mistake. You can work through it, and you can find your ways. So, I think the suspension through a non-conference game against a low opponent is not necessarily the biggest punishment to somebody either. You know, I know the players want to play, but at the same point, okay, I'm not going to go out and rush for 250 yards and you know, a quarter and a half and then go sit on the bench. And that's not as big, but it's the half-truths. It's those things of, oh, I went on the internet and looked it up, and the legal limit's 0.08, and he was 0.1. You go, okay. And I agree. The legal limit used to be over 0.1. It used to be higher, a little bit higher than that. But then the two to three, maybe four beers. And then I just did a cursory search in the break to look up what it would say for someone that's, by the way, he goes, it's about your body weight. Like, oh, you mean a professional athlete? He's a 215-pound professional athlete. He's not a dainty 110-pound woman that you go, well, her blood alcohol, she only had two drinks, but she's 110 pounds. 215 pounds. So we can put in there. So yeah. That says a minimum six drinks to get to point one. It's a minimum six. So let's start with a minimum six, not two to three or four. Start with six. And I get you can say, well, he went out and he was hanging out with some friends or he was hanging with family and they were, you know, just sitting around and had some food and he had a few beers and didn't think he had as many as he did and he drove home. You know, he's going to learn from this and that's fine. But it's the downplay of it too. No, he just had two beers at his head. He had two, maybe four at the most. He had a few beers and, you know, and then, you know, he just got behind the wheel and they got it. But it's, no, you can't. It's a half-truth. It's that little bit of trying to make it seem like it's not something when we all know the reality is, the full truth is, it's your best player. Just go, hey, man, he's our best player. It's not going to do me any good to suspend him in a game where it doesn't matter. So we're paying him enough money right now. I don't like – if he would have said, I don't like NIL and I'm paying him money, so I'm going to make him work for the money because I'm paying him, that's up Mike Gundy line.
Well, yeah, you could go that route if he wanted to.
He goes, I can't take the money away because I'm not paying him.
Yeah, but I think ultimately he didn't want to throw his player under the bus either.
I don't need that either. I agree. Yeah. And I'm with you. That it's a mistake that I've had friends have made, and you try and be a better person afterwards. And you know, you're right. You get lucky that nothing bad happened, and the worst thing happened was you got arrested. That's all true. But yeah, the two to three to four, I looked it up online, and then just a bunch of random numbers after that I looked it up online to make it not seem like what it actually was. That's where it gets me, because I know what you're doing. What you're doing is I'm gonna say, I looked this up, so here's some facts on it, and then you lied. And they're not facts on it. They're completely arbitrary lines and arbitrary numbers that you threw out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's basically trying to, for Ollie Gordon's sake, he is trying his best to make others relate to Ollie Gordon's situation.
Yes.
Like, have you been there before? I don't know what Ollie Gordon was drinking. I really don't. I don't know how.
Yeah,
I know he
swerved.
The police report says he was swerving in traffic. That's why he initially got pulled over. Then they found out that he was intoxicated, gets the DWI.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's got a problem. I don't know any of that either. That's something that Gundy probably would know. Like, hey, has he had incidents before that actually didn't get caught with? Because that's kind of what Gundy is implying, that, hey, I've done this 1,000 times and got lucky.
Yes.
And I got lucky. I could have got pulled over too, but I got lucky. Hey, have you guys ever had that situation? And like I said, I'll give him credit for showing some vulnerability and admitting, hey, I've made that mistake. Not a lot of coaches are willing to do that. We talk about Sark and his vulnerability, the culture of vulnerability, and how that's been one of the secret sauces to why his culture is really great and how he shares his mistakes and stuff with the players. I can't just, praise Sark for doing that and how unique it is. And then when Gundy does it, I say, it's disingenuous. He's only doing it for, he's doing it for selfish reasons. He's only doing it because he understands. He's trying to get his player to avoid the consequences. I'll give him a little bit of credit. I'm with you. You could argue the half-truth thing. No doubt about that. And him punishing Ollie Gordon or not punishing him, that's also something that could be discussed. I was just talking about him admitting that, hey, I've made that irresponsible decision before in my life. And he said, he made a lot.
Yes.
Hopefully he's not still making that bad decision. And so he's admitting growth and he's admitting mistakes. We praise some coaches for that because we talk about how that makes them relatable. So I'll just give him some credit for that. But there's no question, you're right. I mean, I think all coaches do that to a certain extent. If you're best players end up getting in trouble, are they subject to the same consequences as the lowest man on the roster, the walk-on who does it?
Yeah.
And answer usually is no. Like, no, they're not subject to the same consequences. Very different world for for winners than it is for losers, as Augie Garrido would say. So that, I think, happens everywhere, but there's no doubt that is why he is getting the leniency. It's because he's the best running back in the country. No doubt. And I think that would happen with 90% of the programs out there. I don't know if they would go without suspending him at all. Usually they'd go a half or, like you said, a game, maybe the whatever the the early opponent is. That's your kind of easy win, easy gimme game, whatever that is. Everybody's got one on the schedule. You'd pick that game and go, all right, not playing in that game. Okay. So I don't know why they didn't go that route, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's because NIL. Maybe it's like, no, man, we're paying them now. Mm-mm. We're already paying them.
You're playing, paid them up front. You're playing San Diego State in your first game.
Last year, remember they lost to, like, Alabama State last year? Maybe he's thinking, like, dude, if that dude's suspended, I can lose that game. Dude, I can lose that game. I can't afford to have Ali going down. I would lose that damn game if I suspended for a half. So, listen, I'm with you. He should be, the young man needs to face the consequences. He will legally. But, you know, people just don't like Mike Gundy, and I think he embraces that. So him throwing out the little joke at the end about him carrying it 50 times, that is his way of saying, kind of giving the middle finger to everybody out there, saying, I will never back down. He's like, no, I'm not backing down. Like, I'm going to still be Mike Gundy, the style.
I get that.
And unapologetic
about it. That one doesn't even bother me as much. It's the treating something that you go, this is a problem, and I'm going to say something that isn't a problem to make the problem seem like it's not a problem. Having two beers and driving home isn't a problem. Having eight beers and driving home is. And that's the difference.
I think he basically said it is a mistake. It's a mistake.
I get that, but it's all about how you frame it. And framing, we've all had two beers and driven home. And you go, yeah, because that's not your blood alcohol content is 0.2. I'm a 250-pound man. It's 0.2. So I'm not even close. I'm fine. I'm not going to be any problem. I don't even feel two beers because I've been drinking for a long time in my life.
but tolerance level is too high.
So if I do two or three or four over, you know, and have dinner, it's not going to be the same as when you get to that point and you really need to pull it back. And that's what I say, it's the marginalizing something by we've all had a glass of wine and then driven, you're like, well, yeah, but that's not the same thing as what happened.
It's not the same thing as what happened.
Yeah.
But he still is admitting that he has basically done. Yes. I think he was trying his best to paint himself. He was trying to be relatable, all right, and trying to put himself in the same situation as Ollie Gordon. But he wouldn't say that he gets trashed and – hey, man, I get when I get hammered, you know what I mean? I jump. That's why he went from the range of two to four beers. That maybe I had one too many beers and did that.
Yeah.
And I've done that 1,000 times. So, yes, and that's why he pointed out the legal limit being 0.08. Because, like, basically, I've been 0.08834. Yes. Like, you know what I mean? Just trying to, so I've been right over that limit. He's basically – so I don't know if he did it in a very articulate fashion. But I do think he was trying his best to make it relatable, trying to make sure that it's relatable, but then also, like you said, walk the line and also be sanctimonious at the same time. I've made that mistake, but I've never been extreme and I've never abused it.
Yeah.
I may have overindulged, but I never abused.
No.
He was trying to walk that line. And it's like, I mean, just say don't drive drunk. Like, don't do it. I shouldn't do it. Yeah. I've done it before, and it was dumb when I did it. And he was basically trying to show the degrees of the bad decision making. It's like, no, just say you did it. Just say, hey, man, you know what? I've driven drunk, and it was stupid when I did it, and I got lucky because I didn't get pulled over.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some of you have made that dumb decision. It was stupid. He should have did it. And instead, he was trying to, you know, it was the old Bill Clinton thing.
Right?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. It's like, yeah, you did. You just didn't do it traditionally. But you did.
Yeah,
you did. And so same thing with Obama, right? Bill Clinton did the same thing. Was that he's the one that said he didn't inhale? Was that Obama?
That was Clinton.
That was Clinton. I didn't inhale. Like, okay, so you smoked. What? You put it in your mouth and smoked it, but you didn't inhale it? Who does that with a joint? That's crazy.
No, Obama just smoked.
Obama just said, cigarettes.
Apparently he smoked it when he was at school, I believe.
He did smoke it, but I remember, it was a cigarette thing that Obama was dealing with, too, because he was actually a cigarette smoker, which bad look at the White House. But remember, that's Bill Clinton used to do that all the time. Like, he basically was doing what Gundy did. It's like, I didn't have sex with her, but we did some things, but it wasn't that bad. I mean, think about have you ever, it's like, no, man, that was sex. And he basically changed the definition of sex in this country. Because based on him saying I didn't have sexual relations with that woman, it's like, actually, we're going to redefine it. Sorry, Bill. That's sex. where I'm from. That's sex. We're going to classify that as sex right now. Sorry for all you youngsters. That's sex. Get it straight. And he did the same thing about the weed thing. So that's something that politicians do a lot of the time.
Yeah.
That's kind of what annoys you about it.
Yes, it is.
The half-truths, as you discussed. All right, we come back. We'll talk about EA Sports' new college football video game because Arch Manning is in the game officially. What changed his mind? We'll discuss when we come back right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get into some Texas football conversation. So Arch Manning put out a promotional commercial of sorts for the new EA Sports video game with his uncle, Eli Manning. And they put it out, I think, via Arch's X account, actually, which he never posts. Arch Manning has like four posts, I think, on social media, period. So he never posts anything. But he posted this yesterday. So here is the audio, and the person that Arch is talking to is Eli Manning. So it's them two in it, and they're playing the video game separately. So here is the commercial from Arch Manning.
All right, here we go. Let's go Gun Far, Simmon Right Nasty, Z Riz, F Whirly Bird, Alert Scarecrow. All right, use a little cadence here. All right, you ready?
Are you sure about this?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the best way to focus on football, right? So get your eyes on the safety. Be vocal out there.
Yes, coach. I mean, Uncle E.
It's better.
Green 18. Green 18. Omaha? It's a hunt.
Ready, ready.
All right, there he is. There he is. Now. Boom. Touchdown. Now, that's why you're in the game.
EA Sports. I'm in the game.
Whew. You know, we could have just run four verts.
Okay, so I kind of just picked up on it because remember initially when he decides not to opt in, I should say, to the new EA Sports College Football video game, the reasoning that was reported, I think Andrew Richardson reported first that he wanted to focus on playing on football and focus on football on the field. I think it was the exact quote. And I believe that didn't Eli say that in there?
This is the best way to focus.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done. I like that. It's the best way for you to focus on football. So they even making fun of themselves, a little self-deprecating in there. Well done. I like that. Good stuff from the Manning camp. Also, I think there's Mark. I think it's Mark Schlabaugh that had the report initially in March that he didn't want to do it because he wasn't the man, basically, that he wasn't the starting quarterback and that he didn't want to be in the video game like that until he was the starting quarterback. And I think that was the report that started people thinking maybe he just doesn't want to be a distraction, that if he's on the game, it'll be a distraction for the team and, you know, people will be putting him in the starting quarterback role, usurping him, putting that on social media. That would become a hot topic. And I remember at the time I said maybe it's that, but my theory was it's just negotiations. It's just a freaking negotiation. They're the Mannings. They're smart. They know that their brand is worth way more than the $600 that every player that opted in was getting. I think it's like 10,000-plus players. And the latest report, Patrick, is from Pete Nakos, who's reporting that the company, EA Sports, paid Arch Manning between $50,000 and $60,000. To promote the game and use his image in addition to 600. So actually whatever, upwards of 60,000 plus 600 and a copy of the new game. So I think I was right about the negotiation.
I think there's there. I could believe too. There's a little part of him that he was like, I'm opting out. And then Quinn comes back and he's on the cover. He's like, well, all right. Well, I guess Texas is not going to be too worried about us, you know, not worrying about football.
That's true. That's
where a little bit, if your starting quarterback's on the cover, you may say, all right, I don't necessarily have completely the same opinion about this anymore. You know, I think we can do this and still focus on football. We're still going and playing the camp, and nothing changed with Quinn being on the cover. So maybe I'm there. I'm sure he talked to his uncles, Tom, too, at the Manning Passing Academy. And there was, when he had spent time with them and that offer was thrown out there and they wanted to do something with the uncles, That probably was discussed at that point when all the family was together. I'm sure there's more than one piece that it was just 100% negotiation. But I agree with you. I think it was negotiation, especially for next year, too, getting in there. That's a part of it. For 100%, definitely part of it.
I will admit, I thought it was for next year. I remember saying that. I said it's negotiation, but for 2026 game. I think this is 2025. I thought it was for that, for next year, when he is the projected starter after Quinn's gone. Oh, man, they're going to want him. I don't know if they'd put him on the cover. They probably could. But they probably want him to have a season and under his belt, but they definitely want him in a game, and he would get a separate deal. But they caved even before that. And you're right, Patrick, it's probably a number of different things. To get Eli Manning in on it is also different. So you're right. They went through the family pretty much because they got Eli in on it, not just Arch and his likeness in the game, but at least Eli to be in on the promotional commercial there. So it's, I guess, and I've said this before about the Mannings, that Texas getting Arch Manning's commitment, you know, a lot of different reasons that they were able to get that, and it was a hell of a recruiting coup for Texas. Because, like I said, Texas, this is prior to the 2023 season, so they had even, the turnaround was not completed. We didn't know if Sark was going to be able to turn it around completely, to be able to turn them into a team that could win the championship. We just had signs of it was moving in a positive direction, that he was indeed, you know, filling out the roster really well, recruiting really well, that building the culture really well. But we didn't know, and he was able to sell the Mannings on it before that 2023 season. And I remember saying on the airwaves, and I said, all right, if he sold the Mannings on this thing, and they, because I know they did the deep dive and the research on them, they definitely went into roster construction and went into, hey, what's your, I need the 4-year plan when Arch is here. I need you to give it to me right now. I need you to give me the blueprint so we can look at it. Give me your playbook. Let's look at this playbook and see how much we like about this playbook. And I know that they had it had to be kind of an open book to the Mannings, so that they would feel confident about letting the next generation choose Texas. And I think after that, I was sold, and I said there shouldn't be any doubt that Sark's gonna at least turn it around. Where now, whether you end up winning a national title and all that, different discussion. But if the Mannings are sold, I don't have a doubt, because they know more about it than I do. That was one of the best. That was the best celebrity endorsement you could get. I've been studying celebrity endorsements because that's probably like the number one way companies are going to advertise these days. You saw a 44% increase in celebrity endorsements year over year from 2021 to 2022. 80% of those are Hollywood, Hollywood celebrities, and about 13 to 15% are pro athletes. What I found was interesting was that 68% of men are actually influenced by celebrity endorsements. Only 37% of women are influenced by celebrity endorsements, because women probably going to shop anyway. Men don't shop as much as women. So when men go out to shop, they're influenced by what they see and what's advertised. And I think that's kind of the theory behind it, getting back to the celebrity endorsement of the Mannings. 62% of Americans associate celebrity endorsements with a higher brand quality and integrity of a brand.
Yeah. No, I mean, and this is something when you do, you know, I've worked in radio commercials and all this for long enough. When you hear like commercials for cruise lines, they won't say who's endorsing it, but it's always a celebrity's voice, because when you hear a celebrity voice, you trust it. So if it's a voice of a TV character that you trust, or so like Jim from The Office, he'll do a lot of commercials because people go, well, I trust Jim from The Office.
Know that voice.
Why would he lie to me? So we'll just use his voice and do it in a commercial. Or people trust Bryan Cranston. He's in a lot of commercials. His voice is in one.
Paul Giamatti's voice is randomly in a lot of commercials. I'm like, what's Paul Giamatti's voice? Yeah, that's right. It's random voices.
But it's if you know the voice and you recognize the voice, you're more likely to trust it. So that's why. And so they use these, and celebrities, the same thing. Is it's not so much that even if you really like the or they're doing the right thing, you can just look at it and go, well, that person is rich, successful. I know who they are, so I trust them more than a random salesperson who is trying to take my money, Why would they take? They're already rich. Why would they take my money?
They would. That's a good. No, it is. That's why you get even the celebrities that do the political endorsements. Yeah. Or they give their political. It's like, who gives a damn who Jennifer Aniston's gonna vote for? It's like, I'm voting for. It's like, you're Jennifer Aniston. Who cares? But it's literally because subconsciously we just trust celebrities. We trust those we see on TV, whatever. And you're right. It's 59% of Americans say celebrity endorsements actually influence or a factor in their buying behavior, increase sales, increase brand recognition. But and that's basically what the Mannings have done for Texas football, in my opinion. They just gave them the best celebrity endorsement in college football history. And now you get it again. I mean, you keep reinforcing that with Arch Manning. He's not even starting quarterback yet. And, man, the recruiting advantage this gives you now. Just because Arch Manning's in the game. And we know what's going to happen. I mean, Arch Manning, every school is going to get Arch Manning in the transfer portal. That's just going to happen. So get ready for him being the starting quarterback for, you know, I don't know, for Akron, being the starting quarterback for Texas Tech.
Get ready for your social media feed flooded with pictures of Arch in whatever jersey on the game.
Yes, yes. And that's what that, by the way, that's what EA Sports wants. They're like, that's what they paid. We need him in the game.
$50,000 to $60,000 for.
That's exactly right. They need him so they can have that type of really kind of interaction and engagement with fans, because that's going to be fun for them. So there you go. Arch Manning is in the game. I'm happy about it, too. I think that's good. Now, the question is, what is his rating? Now, we know Quinn's a 92.
Yeah.
If they put him within like four ratings points of Quinn, I already know what people are going to start. They're automatically going to put Arch in there and bench Quinn.
I'm just curious what his speed is.
No, after 20 miles per hour?
Well, because they gave Quinn, an 81?
They did, and yeah, you're right. I think he was. He was surprised to be, and so we Arch say should be faster than
Arch
Quinn.
So Arch is like, what, like 85, 86?
You're going to run triple option with Arch out there, man. Running some of that zone read option with Arch Manning. No, it's going to be, I can't wait to see what they make his rating. If they make it like an 88 or 89 or something, it's gonna be wild. They got to make it high because he's gonna be, I think, the highest rated backup quarterback in the country.
Hey, but tell your recruits. Recruits. Hey, do you want to see this? This is what our backup is. We have our starter and our backup quarterback is doing ads for this video game.
Seriously,
come on down to Texas. You don't think we're a big brand? You don't think Hey, by the way, Florida State went undefeated. They don't even get a player in the. They're just over there still. You gotta go with it.
Seriously, man. Yo, man. Your Florida State got no momentum from that run they made. It really squashed all their momentum. They got recruiting momentum right now. They're killing it.
No, they're doing
on the recruiting trail. Yeah. But you're right. You gotta feel bad if you're a Florida State fan right now. You gotta feel like the Rodney Dangerfield of college football. You get no respect. All right. We come back. We'll get into Off the Record on the other side. Got a couple of stories from the sports world, some from beyond the sports world, right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis and Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the Horn.
DD Mega Doodoo, I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb. Well,
congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F***ing thing sucks!
All right, I found a story that I want to get to. It is sports related, but it's also a story with political figures, but a sports related story. So I don't know if you have the sound patch, but we'll wait to get that pulled up. I got this story about the Hawk Tour girl. Oh man, she's making money finally. She just started getting paid. She said she had not gotten paid for any of the merchandise that was out there, the Hawk Tour girl. And she had not gotten paid for any appearances. She now is officially getting paid. She's getting paid for appearances. She got a $30,000 $30,000 appearance fee to go to a party at a Miami club. And I think she had to have a Tua jersey on or something like that. Hawk Tua. So remember my term, my phrase these days. You can turn shame into fame and fame into fortune. She didn't even have a social media page. She didn't even have an X account prior to becoming a social media sensation. And now she's getting paid appearance fees, 30 G's. And she apparently is hired like it. She's thinking about hiring an agent because they want to do a reality TV show like with her. They want her to be on some reality TV show, which I don't know if she needs to do that or not.
We talked about reality TV yesterday with the TLC shows. It's so awful.
It is awful. It's awful. Lord. It's awful. It's terrible. Yeah, I agree with you. But if you want to take that route, shame to fame, it is one of the easier paths to go from shame to fame and fame to fortune. But yeah, I mean, like I said, she get $30K for an appearance fee. That's the blueprint. It's the Kardashian blueprint. Like I said, the Catch Me Outside, how about that chick, Bad Baby, whatever her name is. She just actually, I think, was involved in some domestic abuse thing, unfortunately. Did you see that? I don't know if you saw that. But yeah, she's famous and making a lot of money now. I'm just throwing it out there. Hawk to a girl. You can follow that recipe, unfortunately, these days.
But she has to do something, right? Or is she not? Because the other girl started a rap career.
Yeah, she started. So there was something. You got to find something. You got to podcast or do something. You can't just do nothing. You got to stay relevant somehow. But
so the Hawk Tour girl has to find a type of job that she's good at.
She needs to find some kind of skill to maximize the window.
A type of job where, and I don't know how to hit this more on the nose than I'm saying it. A type of job that Hawk to a girl may have an expertise in.
No, she's going to become an influencer. She didn't have a social media. Now she has social media. She got 1.1 million followers in under a week. So you can be an influencer. I got a family member that's an influencer. Like, and it shocked me too. Like she was like, no, I'm getting paid basically for being an influencer. She gets paid for the amount of engagement that she has on social media, but also for going to different places and doing like endorsements. Like go to it's kind of a foodie thing. I was shocked, and I was like, "So now it's real. Now it's hit home for me. Now it's actually it's in my family now. There's a person that is literally getting." And I was like, "Girl, just make sure you pay your damn taxes." I was like, "Just pay your taxes because you're independent contract tonight." That was the only advice I could give her. I was like, "That is wild. But she can make her money literally just being an influencer, and posting your food and going to review different restaurants and all kind of you can do a lot of stuff, man. These days, just by being an it is crazy. I am not lying. I'm with you. It's crazy." This is a new world, and I'm glad that influencing wasn't a job when I was young, because it was something that I would have been like, man, let me see if I can. No, I'm glad it's not. Now you can be a gamer, be an influencer.
The problem is, Rod, you're too knowledgeable on things. You have to be knowledgeable on nothing and then just walk into it completely blind and just be like, no, I think I know better than everybody, and then you can be an influencer on something.
Yeah, that's not me at all. I always say, if you're the smartest man, if you're the smartest person in the room, find another room. Yeah. You're in the wrong room.
No, an influencer.
You don't need to be in that room. That's
an influencer is if you're the smartest person in the room, then take everyone else's money.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. All right, so I wanted to get to this sound. Do we have this audio?
Yes.
Do you have this? Do you have the first one or the second one?
I have both.
You had both. You have both? Can we play the first one? Okay.
So wait, the one that came first or the one that you sent first?
The one that came first in this little rivalry now that's going on.
Gotcha.
Okay, so Donald Trump and Joe Biden, they're gonna be the nominees for the election. They're gonna represent the Democratic side and the Republican side. And they had their first debate. At the debate, this is not a political discussion, this is a sports conversation. They got into a bit of a heated exchange about their golf game. It was one of the funnier parts of – no, a lot of funny parts of that debate. It was one of the funny parts of the debate. Here is the exchange between Joe Biden and Trump about their golf games at the first debate.
President Biden?
You can see he is 6'5" and only 223 pounds or 235 pounds. Well, you said 6'4", 200. Well, anyway, that's what you're. Anyway, just take a look at what he says he is and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And but by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf with you if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8?
Never.
But I have, you know, I mean,
I've seen your swing. I know your swing.
Okay, let's not act like children. President Trump, we're going to turn.
Let's not act like children.
All right, so they got it. So Trump's out on the campaign trail, and apparently he has now challenged Joe Biden to a charity golf match with $1 million going to charity. Here is President Trump.
I'm also officially challenging Crooked Joe to an 18-hole golf match right here. Under Al's Blue Monster, considered one of the greatest tournament golf courses anywhere in the world, one of the great courses of the world. It will be among the most watched sporting events in history, maybe bigger than the Ryder Cup or even the Masters. And I will even give Joe Biden 10 strokes aside. 10 strokes, that's a lot. That means 20 strokes in case you don't play golf. I will give him 10 strokes aside, and if he wins, I will give the charity of his choice, any charity that he wants, $1 million. And I'll bet you he doesn't take the offer. I would bet he, because he's all talk.
All right. I don't know if he's going to take the offer. You know what? These days, it might happen. Our political landscape is kind of crazy. There you go. Would you watch it? Would you watch?
No.
You know you'd watch. You know you'd watch. You
would
know
not
you
watch.
Would watch.
I would
you
not
would
watch.
Watch. You would watch.
I would not watch.
You wouldn't watch. You wouldn't watch.
No.
Two.
I would not watch two geriatric men who want to fight and squabble, play bad golf for 3 hours. Would not watch.
You know Trump's gonna make it entertaining, though.
Not
you know
for
he's gonna make it. He understands. He understands the value of entertainment. He would not let it be boring. He would talk some trash. He'd be. He'd at least make it fun.
Not for me. Not for me. It would not be fun.
I'm here for the petty. Just, it'd be extremely petty. To go back and forth.
I'm not here for the petty.
You're not in for the
no.
petty? Well, you don't watch. You obviously don't pay attention to any politics at all. Then
no, I don't. It makes watch, me very angry all the time, so I don't pay attention to any of it.
So you missed that moment at the debate where they challenged each other's golf game? All right, there you go. That's our off the record there. I thought it was fitting. It's sports related.
It's sports related.
Some of y'all probably got y'all upset. They got you upset and start thinking about politics, then you're probably listening to the wrong show. We try to keep it sports related around here. But I would watch that, though. That is a sporting event that I would watch. So President Trump is right about
calling
that
a sporting event is gracious.
I'm telling you. They should do like 9 holes, though. That would be good for charity.
They should do 40 something. They should play a whole tournament in a day. let's wait.
I don't know if they can handle it.
I know. That's why I want to see him do that. Test of endurance. They got to walk it. Carry your own bags.
That might take them both out, honestly. We don't. And some of y'all might want that. That's not good either. All right, we'll come back. We'll get your man Nick Shuley coming up with Setlist ATX. We'll also hear from Dak Prescott. We'll also dive into the Clutch Gene. Lots coming up in the next hour of the show right here on the broadcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Lohan. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.